The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
What we learned out of week one in the National Football League, or at least one of the things that we learned in week one, now that it is done and in the books and we're looking ahead to week two, is that we really cannot state enough how incredible Aaron Rodgers was on Sunday night coming back into the game after suffering what looked like a season-ending knee injury in which he was carted off. But what he said afterwards, I think, sets a right tone for sports fans. We as sports fans sometimes have a hard time really putting in perspective the kind of value athletes like Aaron Rodgers are really worth. We still have a hard time just wrapping our minds around $30 million a year, et cetera, et cetera. But when you look at the value of what he brings as being the best player in the game and being the best quarterback, which is the most important position in sports, and what him walking back out on that field meant, what he said afterwards when he said, "This is what we get paid for," I think set a great tone for that relationship between those salaries and what is it, the expectations are of an athlete. I'm not saying that all football players should play through injuries. It takes a special kind of quarterback and a different kind of knee injury. Not all knee injuries are the same. He felt like he could play. If your quarterback has a knee injury and doesn't play, you're hoping that's the right reason. So I'm not advocating that every quarterback go out there, play with broken legs, et cetera. But that doesn't diminish the story of what happened at Lambeau Field, and it doesn't diminish what Aaron Rodgers is as a football player and is as a quarterback. He's not going to have a career that is filled with Super Bowl championships like Tom Brady or even a number of other quarterbacks like Terry Bradshaw or Joe Montana or along those lines. He may get one more. If he's lucky, he might get two. He might get none, but I don't think that's relevant. In terms of what he has been to the Green Bay Packers since they drafted him, and he spent all of those years behind Brett Favre until he finally took over that organization. You never want to be the man that follows the man, but in Aaron Rodgers' case, it has worked out great to a point where he is cementing a solid legacy as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time without all the Super Bowl accolades that are bestowed other quarterbacks. And this is just one of them. He may not be able to overcome that Super Bowl hurdle without the kind of resume Brady and Montana have, but boy, he's getting close without it. SB Nation AM.
Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You've been with us on SB Nation AM. I am Tony D. Ron Culver alongside. Follow us on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You can also follow Ron at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. With the NFL season and the NCAA season here, put that pigskin knowledge to the bank with BetDSI.com. Celebrating 20 years online, impeccable reputation for great service and fast payment for your winnings. They also got an excellent mobile interface so you can play, you can win, you can also get paid anytime and anywhere. Get started with some extra bang for your buck because BetDSI.com is offering double your money on your first deposit. That's right, deposits to start winning. Get up to $2,500. Free. That's double your money right from the get-go. Now, when it comes to football, BetDSI.com has every wager you could ever want or imagine. If it's happening, BetDSI.com will put a line on it. You can bet NFL, NCAA football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, politics, celebrities, reality shows, you name it. You can also bet during the game with their live betting at BetDSI.com. If your team isn't doing so hot, well, you'll watch before you play. You know what? If you're ready to win, join BetDSI.com right now. Go with promo code Nation101. That's promo code Nation101, and you'll be doubling your bankroll straight away. Promo code Nation101. That's right. Get in on the action and get paid. Don't stand on the sidelines. You have to be in it to win it at BetDSI.com. I wanted to ask this question about Aaron Rodgers and his girlfriend, Danica Patrick. Now, Danica Patrick is, it's safe to say, not the most successful race car driver on the planet, but definitely a more well-known entity, given that she was in the GoDaddy ads and she's attractive and all of that. But can we say, Ron, that she's playing up with Aaron Rodgers rather than him playing up with Danica Patrick?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, I'm going to say this. As far as female athletes are concerned, she's one of the tops that you'd want to date.
Right. But because is her notoriety and looks trump Aaron Rodgers as quarterback at the Green Bay Packers and one of the best quarterbacks in the league? Because I feel like she's got more bragging rights with Aaron Rodgers than he has bragging rights with Danica Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? No, she's definitely winning a lot more than he's winning.
Right. Like I wouldn't exactly say that in the marriage of Kate Upton and Justin Verlander. I think both sides are doing pretty well on that in that regard. But I would definitely say
Justin's doing pretty good.
He is doing pretty good.
She might be
what has
that
she
one.
Been in lately? I haven't seen her in anything. Is she still doing modeling and shoots and stuff?
I'm
like
sure
that? I don't
she
see
is,
her
yeah.
I mean, but I don't see her in anything. Like, isn't the purpose of modeling
isn't
to
that
be
the
seen?
Purpose? Isn't that right? The purpose not to see her in anything?
Well, I guess, right? Yeah. But in this case, I mean, look, I said that because I remember saying that a few years ago when he was dating Olivia Munn. And I was like, I know Olivia Munn she's more than just an actress. She's a writer. She was a reporter. I mean, she has a huge resume, but there was no way it stacked against Aaron Rodgers. I mean, she was definitely playing a league up with Aaron Rodgers by dating him, because Olivia Munn is still, I mean, she's not a, I mean, I wouldn't call her a super celebrity. She's in movies and stuff, but she's not an A-lister.
No, she's far from that.
And I hear the people in Predators didn't like her. I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't. She seems like a nice gal.
Seems like that she, you know, can drink a lot.
Yeah. Now, Danica Patrick dated Ricky Stenhouse Jr. for a long time. Like her race car boyfriend. But
they were trying to do a NASCAR royal family.
Yeah, they were. That didn't quite work out.
Nope.
So, they used to ask him.
I mean,
like, if you had a chance to wreck her.
I think the bad rap on her. I mean, we want to go back to like the whole. She was trying to do something in a man's world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but she.
She didn't have all. She didn't possess the skill level that was there. Obviously.
She won like a race in Japan, I think. So it kind of counted, but it didn't because it was kind of off. I don't really quite remember the details, but I remember when Danica Patrick was racing Indy cars, and she finished like fifth at the Indy 500 one year. And Dan Weldon, the late Dan Weldon, won the race. And he actually had a t-shirt that said, "I actually won the Indy 500." Cause everyone was like, "Danica Patrick. Oh my God."
Right.
Cause she led the race late. And I remember, and I'll tell you why. It was a Memorial Day tradition when I was in Colorado Springs. I worked for this radio cluster, and we used to do the street fair that happened every Memorial Day weekend. It still goes on. It's called Territory Days. And my station, we had a booth, and people would come by and they'd say hi, and they, you know, you'd give them gear and you'd run contests and do all that kind of radio thing you do. And we decided we were going to bring out a television and we were going to have the Indy 500 on, and that was be our booth. Like, we were going to try to find any sporting event we could get over the air antenna, and we were going to put it on TV so people come by, see our sports station, also see sports on a TV. So he had the Indy 500 on. In all the years that I've done that, and I did that every year for like 4 or 5 years, I did that. There was never a crowd bigger than when Danica Patrick was running that race. It was like 2005, I think. And after that, it just never really, it never accumulated into anything, and it never turned into anything. And she went into NASCAR, and she could sell stuff. I mean, she did the GoDaddy ads. I mean, she could sell stuff because of who she was. And she had, you know, she's pretty. She was a race car driver. She, you know, she had a lot of good things going for her in terms of marketing. But wins weren't one of them, and competitiveness wasn't one of them. It's not like she came in third a lot or fifth a lot. She ran in the middle of the pack or towards the end of the pack. She had a lot of respect. I mean, nobody didn't think she belonged. Or Tony Stewart used to get really angry when he used to challenge her inability to win because he was very supportive. He was a team owner. He was very supportive of her. But seeing her like in the luxury box at Lambeau Field Sunday night, I was like, I don't think this is a mutual athletic relationship. I think the Aaron Rodgers is on the top end of this one. I think she's playing up. He's not quite playing down, but he's playing up. She's definitely playing up with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good to see her. I hadn't seen her do anything in a while. So.
No, they look like a fun couple.
They did look like a fun couple.
They could have they probably have some good laughs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened with the Olivia Munn thing, Aaron Rodgers, but is he becoming like the Jeter, where he's just going to have a whole list of Hollywood-ish girlfriends?
I don't think so. He doesn't seem to have that in him. But at the same time, you know, you're being touted as the greatest quarterback in the league outside of Tom Brady, or, you know, one of the greatest as far, you know, to have played the game as far as technique goes. You know, a lot of people say that he's the best pure passer the league has ever seen. And he might be, but who knows?
He might be. You know what Tom Brady said a few years ago? I saw this quote. Tom Brady said that if he played with the Patriots offensive line and in that system, he'd throw for 7,000 yards. He said he's much more talented than I am about Aaron Rodgers.
That's probably true.
I can see that too. That's the thing. That's going to be hard. Look, people don't like to get into technical stuff. Like they don't like when they compare athletes, people don't like to look at some of the technical issues. Like how did he throw? What were the passes like, et cetera, et cetera. They just like statistics and they just like wins and they just like championships and they like everything simplified. Aaron Rodgers' place in the quarterback hierarchy is hard to define without multiple Super Bowl championships, but I don't think he needs them. I think that the good, really smart football players know the kind of quarterback he is, the way he throws, how accurate he throws. His numbers are insane in terms of touchdowns to interceptions. They're crazy good. And I think good football people know that and don't mind having him in that greatest conversation. He doesn't need 4 Super Bowls. He doesn't need 5. He doesn't need 3. He's in there because the way he throws the ball, the way he conducts himself, the way he's had these incredible storylines, whether it's a Hail Mary or this pass or that, it's been remarkable. The way he led an injured team that got healthy into a Super Bowl and beat the Steelers. There's a lot to like about Aaron Rodgers' career that goes beyond just, oh, how many championships did you win? And that's what I think good football players will adjust in terms of comparing him with the greats. Plus, it's always like we talked about the other day. It's hard to compare eras. It just is. It's hard to compare running backs, for example, because there was a time with the NFL where the running game was prominent, then the passing game was prominent, then the running game was prominent again, then the passing game was prominent again. It goes through cycles, and it's hard to compare between eras. But people have a good idea of what Aaron Rodgers is. I mean, he's that important. He's that good, and he's had that kind of career. So for that reason, I think that's a fair conversation to have with people. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver if you want to get your thoughts in on Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying to find some other nuggets from week one. It's besides the Aaron Rodgers story, and I think you and I hit it on top five, bottom five. Some teams just really disappointed that I didn't think would disappoint out of the gate. The Dallas Cowboys, I know they lost, you know, Dez Bryant and Jason Witten and Dan Bailey and Travis Frederick, but that offense really, really better get going.
Yeah, I was flirting with putting him in my bottom five.
Me too. I took him out.
And they kept going back and forth. I'm like, yeah, but man, if we don't see any improvement, it's going to be it almost looks like it's setting up to be a really long season for them as well.
And here's the issue going up against with last night's game with Sam Darnold. This is where Jet fans, I'm not going to rain on your parade. Enjoy this for while it lasts. But never forget, there was an enthusiasm for Dak Prescott that was over the top with the Dallas Cowboy fan base when Dak Prescott came in for Romo, was winning games and looking sharp, and everybody was in love with him, and everyone was talking about the next great thing. And it hasn't been that way since his sophomore season in this league. And you can point to the Ezekiel Elliott suspension last year, but still, the numbers don't lie. He has regressed and regressed hard. And if you're not careful, Cowboys, you may not have a legitimate quarterback that's capable of getting you to the postseason. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot to be said. And losing Dez Bryant and losing Jason Witten is a big deal, and I don't want to overshadow that. But that offense is dead right now. I mean, it is dead, and it better pick up pretty quickly. Something's going to have to change, because it's not 2 years ago when he was taking the league by storm again. I mean, there's a figuring out process that the league has with this guy. Doesn't mean he can't overcome it, but I'm just saying that that initial euphoria is dead. And you better be careful when you have a quarterback that comes out of the gate strong. Darnold responded really well last night, but you got to be careful, because this league will change that in a hurry. And the next thing you know, you'll be saying to yourself, oh my God, what do we have? All right, 800-777-2907 as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Let's go. I want to get this Hollywood story in today. There's a new movie coming out called White Boy Rick. It's based on a true story. The 15-year-old actor who plays Rick in the movie, he stars alongside Matthew McConaughey. Now, this is I didn't believe this at first. I think this is crap. He says, quote, "I didn't know who he was at first because I'm used to watching action movies with like Will Smith or Mark Wahlberg, stuff like that." He's a 17-year-old. When I met him, I was like, I do know that guy, but I didn't know his name was Matthew McConaughey. I don't believe this for a second.
All right.
How do you not know Matthew McConaughey?
He's lying.
What kind of tunnel or cave are you living in where you don't know Matthew McConaughey? I mean, this isn't a B actor. This is a legitimate star, like a superstar. He's been in everything. Give me a break. I don't buy this for a second. If you know who Mark Wahlberg is, you know who Matthew McConaughey is.
Nonsense. What was the last? I feel bad. I hope Mark doesn't come in here and beat me up, but I can't think of the last action movie he was in.
He's in that movie Mile 22.
A lot of things right now is, you know, he's been doing a lot of like comedy, like daddy comedies.
Yeah. Was he in the movie?
He was in Patriot Day.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wasn't he in the movie about the Boston bombing?
Yeah, Patriot Day. But was Patriot that action?
Was it? No.
I guess it's not
like he's in Jason Bourne or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. When I hear action movie, I'm thinking like this guy's, you know, is he playing James Bond?
Will Smith. What was the last action movie Will Smith was in? Besides, the last thing I remember Will Smith was in was 7 Pounds, that crappy movie. He knows Will Smith and Mark Wahlberg, doesn't know Matthew McConaughey. What's wrong with you, kid?
Back in school, though, man. That's where all the girls are, right?
I love Matthew McConaughey. He's great.
Maybe that's the problem. You know, it's a young kid. He's a male. So. Matthew McConaughey goes after the high school women. We know that. And
we know that, right? All right. What does he say in that movie? The great thing about high school girls is
that's
they,
what I
get
love
older.
About these high school girls.
That's right.
I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Matthew McConaughey.
That was his first role.
Yep, that was his first role.
Just doing it. I mean, he was into acting. He wanted to get into acting at University of Texas, and then got it. You know, that was his buddy who was making a film, and said, I got a perfect part for you. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. And
he's an Academy Award winning actor.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I mean, if you're in Hollywood and you know what's going on, you would stumble. I mean, at least you would recognize him from all the Buick commercials he's been doing.
Exactly. I don't have to know. I don't have to see somebody in a movie to know who they are. Like, I know who they are. I don't have to see their movies.
It was like something. I was watching this video the other day, and it was a Funny or Die skit that they were doing, and they were, I can't even think of the guy's name. He was in New York City, and he's just bringing this guy, and he's just going up to random people in New York City, and he has Chris Pratt with him. And just going up to random people like, this is one of Hollywood's biggest actors right now. Do you know who this is? I'll give you a dollar. And not one person. I mean, obviously, you know, they edit out the people who are like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, of course. Right.
But, you know, they just went to all these people. And, you know, the main thing he kept going up to him, too, was like, you speak English? I was just like, kind of clarify. I mean, because it's New York City. I mean, there's going to be foreign people walking around. And nobody could, you know, for all the people that he hit, it's like no one knew. Who he was. It's like, how do you not, you just stumble upon him. Like, literally, that guy right now is in everything.
Oh, he's in the Jurassic World, the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in a bunch of other different types of movies. He's in everything.
He's just in everything right now. You'll stumble on him and you'll figure it out.
By the way, are there five Woody Harrelsons in Hollywood that's currently working on different projects? Because I feel like every movie I watch is like, oh my God, look at that. There's Woody Harrelson again.
He doesn't want you to know that.
No, there's like five clones of him constantly working on movies that keep coming out all the time.
And see, that was the other thing, too, that always confused me, because I think there might be a sixth Woody Harrelson, because he has a house on Maui.
Oh, okay.
In this area, it's not really near the resort area. You have to drive more into the interior part of the island. It's on your way to the Road of Hana. It's a small little town. And people there is like, we see him all the time. And I sat there and I'm like,
but that's impossible.
How are you seeing him all the time? If I'm seeing him all the time.
If I'm seeing him all the time, he's not there. He's always working. I see him constantly. He must have one of those things. And where I know I see this a lot with people who work all the time. They have this like fear that someone's going to come take it all away from them. So they got to keep working and working and working. Or either that, or people just want him to do it. And he's like, I'm having a good time. I like going to sets. I like reading scripts. I like memorizing lines and acting. So give me as much work as you possibly can. I'm digging this.
I think he likes just hanging out with people.
Yeah. I think he's just like, I'd love this. Are you kidding me? What's my next movie? Get me to another set. Even if it's a cameo, I'll do that. I don't care. I just give me to another movie. Give me another script to read.
Yeah, he has. That's great. He has four projects coming up.
Wow.
Two out this year, two out next year.
Golly, that's incredible. That's incredible.
He's doing Zombieland 2.
Oh, is he really?
I'll be excited for that one.
Gosh, what'd you think of the Monday Night Football crew last night? I didn't pay much attention.
It's just Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Booger McFarlane was pretty good.
I mean, honestly, we're not going to have the heyday crew again.
No, those days are
over. When I was growing up, it was always Al Michaels, Dan Dierdorf, and Frank Gifford.
Yeah, those days are over.
Yeah, we're not going to have that ever.
It's too bad.
On Sundays, I mean, I grew up with John Madden and Pat Summerall. We're not going to have those type of guys anymore. It's always going to be, you know, they're going to bring in NFL stars now, or ex-NFL stars, and then pair them up with somebody else.
I mean, Joe Testosor is a good play-by-play guy. The program doesn't come out with a punch anymore. It doesn't have that sort of sporty feel like it used to. I mean, Monday Night Football was a big, big deal. It's lost a little bit of that. It's not on primetime television. It's on cable now. It's sort of lost that punch. But like Mike Tirico did it for a number of years, so it still had its heyday. But yeah, it's just. I don't know. People like to complain about announcers. I never know why you complain about announcers. Look, you can watch games on TV without announcers. I mean, I mean, God bless, you know, guys like me who do it. I mean, I'm glad you're doing that, but I don't like people get really worked up over like Joe Buck and all these people. Like you don't need to watch them. You can still watch the game without them. I remember the early 80s, they did an experiment without the announcers. Like they had a whole game that was just nothing but sound, nat sound from the game. But I thought they were fine. I mean, Jason Witten is not as good as I like Romo. I like Romo's enthusiasm. I don't think he's there yet. But Booger McFarlane was pretty good. I liked him. I think he did a pretty good job. Yeah, but you're right. It's
Monday Night Football used to have this big punch on your TV. Now it doesn't have that.
No, and I think there's too much emphasis put on it now, too. It's like, oh, you know, who's the new Monday Night crew? It's like, no, just call the game.
Just call it. I think Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth have that. They seem to have that because it's like that. It's on NBC. It's a big broadcast, and Al Michaels is legendary, and Chris Collinsworth
but really,
is very good.
But they're really the only ones. I can't think of another duo. I mean, you know, maybe the Tony Romo, Jim Nantz crew.
Yeah, but even then.
Matchup. But yeah, I mean.
When I was younger, and I'm not trying to date myself, but there were two crews that were huge. And there was Pat Summerall and John Madden. And there was Dick Enberg and Merlin Olsen.
Yes.
That on NBC. That was the AFC side of things. And then NBC. And I always, like, my memories of Madden and Summerall always had to do with, like, the Bears, the Giants, right? Like, these cold weather cities, just late in the winter in this middle of nowhere town in New Hampshire, and it'd be freezing outside, and Pat Summerall and John Madden are doing a game from, like, Soldier Field on with AstroTurf and, like, Walter Payton. It's like, good memories of those early CBS games on, you know, NFC games on CBS. All right, we'll talk some college football next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Now we're set to go with Corey McCartney from Fox Sports, talking some college football. Alabama is the number one team in the nation. Clemson, Georgia. A lot of good games coming up this weekend. Corey McCartney joins us on SB Nation AM. Our BetDSI.com inside line. How are you, Courtney? How are you?
Hey, great. How you doing?
Good. All right. Give me an idea in terms of, I want to talk first off the bat about Herm Edwards. What kind of team does he have at Arizona State? Because I've been fascinated by this, and I've kind of been fascinated by this, by his ability to come into this and coach his team in a good win against Michigan State. What do you make of Arizona State's team? What does he have?
I'm sorry. You're breaking up.
I wanted to ask about Arizona State and Herm Edwards in terms of his off to a 2-0 start. I know it's not one of the top teams in the nation yet, but what does he have? What are the Sun Devils like?
Yeah, I mean, what an interesting turn of events here, right? I mean,
right.
You know, I don't think any of us anticipated that he was going to be going back there, and you know, certainly, you know, this you get to go to San Diego State now, where things kind of ended up. For him the first time. So, yeah, it's a really interesting team. I haven't had an opportunity to watch them a whole lot, to be honest with you. I really thought they were going to get worked by Michigan State. I think that team, to me, has been, you know, kind of a letdown at this point in the season. But, you know, look, I mean, you know, Manny Wilkins, our QB, you know, a really nice game for them last week. So a very interesting team for him. I think the experiment, when you saw it on paper, you know, just sort of seemed like a guy – writing down his retirement plan and figuring out how he's going to pull that off in the desert. But yeah, I'm awfully surprised by what he's been able to pull off so far.
The Oklahoma Sooners are off to a 2-0 start, and Kyler Murray had five touchdowns combined with what he did in UCLA, but they do lose Rodney Anderson. What does that mean for the Sooners going forward in the Big 12 play?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, this team, as we saw last year, this is going to be predicated by how steady can that QB be. And I think Kyler Murray, you know, has been spectacular. It's really not a drop-off at all from losing the Heisman Trophy winner from a year ago. So, yeah, I love this team's chances. I think they're, at this point in the season, you got to look at them as being head and shoulders the best team in the Big 12. And I think, you know, obviously we're going to learn a lot about TCU this week as they take on Ohio State, but it certainly feels right now like those are the guys as far as this Big 12 is concerned.
Yeah, that TCU game against Ohio State, this was where Urban Meyer will not be on the sidelines for. In terms of his absence, it's okay in the beginning, but now this is the game where it may matter. But how much will it matter with Ryan Day on the sidelines for the Buckeyes instead of Urban Meyer against a formidable foe in TCU?
You know, I don't know that it matters all that much when you consider Day was going to be doing the play-calling duties this year anyway. So it sort of feels like, not that you're taking out the middleman, but, you know, this was going to be his calls anyway. So I love the quarterback play. I love the combination of Martell and Haskins. You know, it doesn't always work out when you know going in that one guy is more likely to be set aside for the running plays. But Martell can still sling it too, 10 for 10 last week. I love the running game with Dobbins and Weber. And then that is just such a deep offense. You know, it's been, I mean, you got to go back to the end of the John Cooper era to find the last time that Ohio State had a passing offense. It was in the top 15 in the country. They're certainly trending that direction with the ability of Haskins to throw the deep ball.
Florida State lost their opener and struggled against Samford, put away the Bulldogs. What exactly is going on in Tallahassee? What does Willie Taggart have there in terms of, was the cupboard more bare than we thought, or is he struggling putting these pieces together?
I think he's just struggling putting the pieces together. I mean, look, DeAndre Francois, you know, a year ago we were talking about this guy being one of the upper echelon QBs in the country. Everyone was crazy excited about Cam Akers. You got Jacques Patrick back there. They have tons of guys. That defensive line is still really strong. It just feels like they're really trying, they're struggling to pick up that Gulf Coast that Gulf Coast offense of his, and it just doesn't feel like they're really being able to get what was the entire basis of this, was to get the playmakers balls in space. It just doesn't seem to be happening for them. There's just no rhythm to that offense right now. So maybe interested to see if there's any QB change there. Blackman played awfully well for them, you know, for the better part of a season ago after Francois went down. So I think he's interested to see how things sort out. But this team, I mean, they're an absolute mess right now offensively.
The Georgia-South Carolina game, it went Georgia, and there seems to be a gap between Georgia and the rest of the SEC East. In your mind, how big is it? Is it as big as that score against South Carolina indicated?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it really feels like, you know, a lot of times we talk about with the West and Kirby Smart's mentor in Nick Saban. They've held things down for a long period of time, and you know, it feels like that same thing's happening in Athens now. And obviously, when you see what happened to Florida against Kentucky, I think it just strengthens that notion. It's just going to be, you know, as these games in the East continue, I think it's going to be a motivation factor for Georgia in terms of being able to play like they did last week each and every week throughout that schedule. But it feels like right now they're just on a collision course to get to Atlanta for the SEC championship game.
Corey McCartney joins us, Fox Sports, talking some college football. All right, with UCF, with Boise State, if they keep winning, keep rising, teams start falling, could this be a year a team outside of the Power Five get in the playoff, or is that still problematic, or is that still an issue where they're just going to knock on the door and never get in?
I don't think they're ever going to get in. You know, I truly don't think it's going to happen. You know, I think there's always going to be mitigating factors, whether it's going to be strength of schedule or it's going to be, you know, just the fact that these Power Five teams will always be playing better teams late in the season than these guys will ever have an opportunity to do. So it's unfortunate. It's just, you know, I've always thought that the only way that those guys are ever going to get, you know, an opportunity to play for a championship is to break off and do their own thing. You know, I think the Group of Five, that's really the only route for them to truly ever get that opportunity, is they're going to have to figure this thing out on their own, and we're going to have a much more divided line. You know, this has been going on for so long. I mean, you know, you think about all the some of the bigger coaches in the country right now. I mean, certainly Urban Meyer went through this himself when he was at Utah. I mean, this is just the nature of college football right now, and it's unfortunate. As long as we refuse to expand the playoff, I think they're going to continue to get left out.
LSU is going on the road to play Auburn this weekend. In terms of Joe Burrow, I haven't seen a lot of him, but I know he's an Ohio State transfer. Does LSU have a quarterback here? I don't think he's putting up huge quarterback numbers, but that doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback for what LSU is trying to do. What do you make of that situation in Baton Rouge?
I mean, you're talking about a less than 50% completion percentage. I mean, I think the big thing with them, though, is just don't turn the ball over, right? I mean, that's the biggest factor. Like, just don't make a lot of unforced errors. And as long as he's, you know, able to do that, I mean, you can live with a sub-optimum completion percentage. I mean, he was 45% in the win over Miami, but he really didn't have to do a ton offensively in that game. Didn't even throw a TD. So I think they have a guy with potential, but again, you know, you hate to say game manager, but that's really all you need when you're LSU. Can you make the throws when you're asked to make key throws? But you know, I think the biggest thing is just don't turn the ball over.
It was Florida more flawed than we thought in that loss against Kentucky in terms of what they have, because we all got a high on them when they demolished Charleston Southern as expected, but that it seemed they got exposed a little bit in that loss against Kentucky.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, and certainly, you know, you have to put a lot of it, and I don't know it's necessarily on Dan Mullen. I mean, Jim McElwain left them in a bad way. I just don't think he left them, you know, with a lot of talent, and I think it's going to be growing pains there as Mullen works to put his imprint on that program. So I think it's going to be a continued growing process for them. You know, it's interesting that, you know, you look at you know, a guy in Darius Lemons leaving the program now, and it's going to be interesting to see how things kind of shake out for him. But it's a not only, I mean, the state of Florida, you know, you're in a bad way overall, but Mullen's got a long way to go, I think, to get that program back to what they were. And it is, again, it's not all his fault. I just don't think Jim McElwain left him with a lot of potential there in Gainesville.
I got to be honest with you, with Alabama, I mean, they had A.J. McCarron, and they've had some good quarterbacks, but this Tua kid, he's just more fun to watch than anybody I can see under center for Alabama over the years.
Oh, without question. And I've, you know, I know we spent a lot of the off season speculating, you know, who was going to end up winning that QB battle. And it was a real point of contention for Nick Saban to even deal with those talks. But I guess I always wondered if he was going to be able to have a QB like this, one where, you know, the unexpected is expected. We always saw that as his kryptonite as far as the guys where they were able to bring him down. You know, you think about, you know, the QBs, obviously Johnny Manziel, guys over the years that gave him fits. I never thought he'd have one himself, but now that he does, I mean, it's unbelievable to see that, you know, paired along with the talent that they have just up and down that roster. And you really have to wonder with Jalen Hurts now, is he going to stay in Tuscaloosa? You know, he can play, you know, up to four games this year and with that new redshirt rule and still maintain eligibility. I know you're of eligibility, so does he kind of find his way out of Tuscaloosa? I think it's going to be really intriguing to watch as to, you know, puts a stranglehold on that job.
What's going on with Clemson with their quarterback issue? I would assume it's Kelly Bryant's, but Trevor Lawrence sees some playing time. Is this something Dabo is going to do all year? Is he going to watch what the amount of playing time Trevor Lawrence has and do kind of the same thing?
Well, he doesn't seem to be talking like that. You know, he's been pretty open to the fact of playing things by ear as they go. And I mean, look, I think the reality is if you have a talent the level of Trevor Lawrence, you kind of have to anticipate he's not staying all 4 years in Clemson, right? You get what you can out of him now, and it feels like just a reverse of what, you know, what Florida did back in, you know, 06 with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. You know, Kelly Bryant's obviously the better runner, but I certainly think, you know, Trevor Lawrence comes in there, you have a package, you have a guy's play set aside for a guy who can make a big difference with his run. We saw in crunch time, you know, on Saturday against A&M, when it was Bryant got the brunt of the snaps in the fourth quarter. I think using Trevor Lawrence in spurts is not a bad thing, especially when you consider the pedigree and the idea that guy's probably not spending all 4 years in college.
Good point. Corey McCartney, Fox Sports. Good talking college football with you, my friend. Hope we do it again soon.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And our guest line is sponsored by BetDSI.com. Use promo code NATION25. Get $25 in free wager today. Get all the plays and the inside line at BetDSI.com. Good stuff on the college football. You heard about the new redshirt rule. You can play up to four games, and then when you're done with that, you can redshirt. You can get a year of eligibility back. And that's apparently what Jalen Hurts is going to do. And I'm with him on the Trevor Lawrence situation. I don't think Dabo is going to be concerned about that or use that. If you try to win national championships and you feel you got two quarterbacks, and this Trevor Lawrence is an outstanding talent. I mean, outstanding talent. And you've got to keep the option open, availability of him being able to participate in what you're trying to do this year. But it is an interesting dilemma. Listen, Alabama, all of the times, for all of the years that Alabama had teams winning national titles under Nick Saban, right? They've had good quarterbacks, but this Tua Tagovailoa is so fun to watch. It's beyond any quarterback I've seen there, right? A.J. McCarron, very efficient. I wouldn't say he was the most entertaining aspect of Alabama football, right? Jalen Hurts wasn't the most entertaining level of Alabama football, but Tua is. I mean, Tua's fun. I mean, he's really fun. Throws a really good ball. It seems exciting. He's like 10 for 10 on third downs this year, which is with four touchdowns. And so you add all of the things that Nick Saban has already built into being the head coach at Alabama, right? Always has a tough defense. Always has good, solid runners. Always has big guys blocking. Always has these things. Those are always built in. The quarterback can make or break you, but they don't usually break Alabama. And now he's got one of the most exciting ones in the country. There's this rich gets richer mentality that you can have in college football. The more success you have, the more success you can bring in. in terms of recruiting. And Saban just continues to do that because he can get you to where you want to go in terms of the pros. And while you're there, while you're waiting it out to get to the next level and play in the NFL, why don't you just win a couple of national championships while you're at it? And that's what he's doing. 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us on SB Nation AM. Yeah, Saturday was tough watching that Georgia-South Carolina game. I've been watching Georgia-South Carolina forever. And that was a little disappointing. I thought South Carolina had a good chance of winning that game. But now they have no chance to win the division. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. I'll have to pull for somebody to beat Georgia.
Don't give up hope just yet.
Well, that's my nature. It's what I do. It's who I am. It's a South Carolina Gamecock. It's what happens.
Yeah, what, at least 11 games to go? So much could happen.
Yeah, so much could happen. We'll see. Boy, Kentucky. Can you imagine losing to a team 31 straight years? How horrible is that? You play them every year, and every year you lose. No matter who you have, no matter what they have. Oh, they're having a down year. Whoops, they still beat us. Oh, they're having a good year. They clobbered us. Oh, we're both equal. Nope, they still beat us. 31 straight years. Florida has beaten Kentucky. It was like death taxes, and the Gators will beat the Wildcats. Until Saturday. How do you like to be Dan Mullen? Dan Mullen is a successful SEC football coach. Dan Mullen's credentials are...
He's a single successive guy.
He's very good. Very good, right? Ron Zook, when they hired Ron Zook to replace Spurrier, okay. A little iffy. That's a little tough. Will Muschamp getting his first head coaching job after all those years at Texas? Okay. All right, we'll see. Jim McElhane coming in from Colorado State? We'll see if he can handle the SEC. Dan Mullen knows these teams, knows the conference, knows the kind of players you need, knows how to, you know, coach a team in the SEC. He becomes the coach in the Florida Gator history books as the one that lost to Kentucky after 31 years. He's not that failure Zook, not that, you know, Will Muschamp's, you know, oh, maybe I don't know what I'm doing quite yet. Jim McElhane, who lost to Georgia Southern. Dan Mullen, who I like, is the guy that gets in the record books for that. That's almost, life's unfair, Ron. It's unfair. He doesn't deserve that kind of history. He might win a national championship at Florida by the time he's done. He's that good. The guy that lost to Kentucky. I remember when Kentucky football was really, really bad. It's not bad now. It's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's great, but it's still pretty good. All right, nevertheless, Corey McCartney was good from Fox Sports. He was good. SB Nation rolling along. Tony D, Ron Culver. You can catch us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. SB Nation AM rolling along on SB Nation Radio.